So let's dive into something that's, you know, shaped so much of how we think about disability rights, the Americans with Disabilities Act. It's been around since 1990, and it's like the cornerstone of protecting people with disabilities in the US.
Absolutely. The ADA essentially laid the groundwork for ensuring equal opportunities, whether it's in employment, accessing public services, or even everyday things like accommodations at businesses. It was a monumental shift in recognising and addressing discrimination against people with disabilities, Hada Murray.
Yeah, and just think about it. Before the ADA, it was like the Wild West when it came to accessibility. I mean, there were no real legal requirements for, say, ramps in public buildings or even basic workplace adjustments.
Exactly, and the Act's strength lies in its specificity. For instance, in employment, it directly prohibits discrimination against qualified individuals on the basis of disability. Employers have to provide reasonable accommodations as long as those adjustments don't cause undue hardship.
Right, like, and this reminds me of a friend of mine. She works in marketing, and a couple of years ago, she had this confrontation with her employer. She needed flexible hours because of her chronic pain, which can really flare up unpredictably. They were hesitant at first, but she stood her ground, using the ADA as her shield. And honestly, boom, she got the accommodation she needed, and it didn't even disrupt anything at work.
That's a perfect example of what the ADA enables. It empowers people to advocate for themselves while also holding organisations accountable to foster inclusivity. And it doesn't just stop at employment. Public services, transportation and...
and businesses, yeah. Like, it's crazy that before, there weren't mandatory requirements for ramps or accessible bathrooms. Now, it's kind of like a given in most places.
Although we still have gaps. Not every space is fully compliant and, you know, there's a growing conversation around keeping the laws up to date with modern challenges.
Totally. And I think the bigger takeaway here is the ADA gave people the tools to push back against systems that excluded them. It set the expectation that society has to evolve if it wants to be truly equal. Thinking about what we just discussed with the ADA, it's clear how powerful it is in setting expectations for inclusivity. But, you know, even with those protections in place, people still run into barriers. So where do you even start looking for help when that happens? It's not like there's this massive road sign saying disability support, turn left.
Unfortunately, no. But governments and organisations have actually tried to centralise some of these resources. In the US, for instance, agencies like the Department of Justice or the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission play critical roles in enforcing disability rights.
Right, like they're the big players. And then there are organisations like the ARC or Disability Rights Advocates, groups that step in when individuals can't navigate the red tape by themselves.
Yes, advocacy groups are often the bridge between policy and those directly affected. They're crucial in raising awareness and pushing for legal or institutional change.
Oh, and let's not forget the nitty-gritty of daily life, like accessible housing or transportation. This is where programs like Medicaid waivers or mobility works come in, right?
Spot on. And speaking of transportation, there's this fascinating case study I came across recently. It was about an advocacy group in Chicago that worked tirelessly to ensure public buses were fully accessible. They lobbied, negotiated, and galvanized community support. Long story short, now the fleet complies almost entirely with ADA standards, including features like ramps and voice announcements for stops.
Wow, that's huge. I mean, something like that isn't just about getting from point A to B. It's about independence, having options, you know?
Absolutely. It underscores how crucial these local efforts are. Large government initiatives provide the framework, but it's often the activism on the ground that drives meaningful, tangible improvements in people's lives.
And we haven't even started on workplace accommodations yet. Things like screen readers, adjustable desks.
Or even quieter environments for those with sensory sensitivities. These accessibility features are becoming more common, though we've still got a long way to go.
So, carrying all of this forward, let's talk about education. I mean, it's such a cornerstone, isn't it? If we're thinking about disability rights and accessibility, making sure people truly understand the challenges and solutions, it's a game changer in shaping real, lasting progress.
Absolutely. Education is critical, not just for those directly affected by disabilities, but for society as a whole. It's about dismantling assumptions and broadening understanding. But it's a two-way street. We need systemic efforts like inclusive curriculums in schools, alongside opportunities for individuals to share their lived experiences.
Exactly. And storytelling, oh my gosh, it's such a game changer here. Like, I kind of feel we don't even realize how powerful stories are until we hear one that smacks us in the face with, oh, I get it now.
That's so true. Stories can cut through misconceptions in a way raw data or statistics often can't. They create empathy by taking you into someone else's shoes. It's one thing to read about accessibility challenges. It's another to hear someone describe how they navigate the world in a wheelchair.
Yes, and it also flips the script. It's not just about challenges. People with disabilities advocating for their rights aren't asking for, you know, pity or charity. They're fighting for equity. And telling their stories, it empowers them while educating us.
Precisely, it creates connection and recognition. I think that's why initiatives like inclusive filmmaking or platforms that amplify voices of disabled creators are so impactful. They don't just raise awareness, they shift perspectives.
And that empowerment piece. Oh, I mean, imagine a world where every individual with a disability knew how to, like, stand up for their rights, to advocate for themselves. Education makes that happen.
True, but it's not just on individuals. Empowerment is collective. Educating workplaces, communities, policymakers, creating allies who can champion these rights. All of that builds an environment where self-advocacy thrives.
You're right. And one person's story, or even just educating one person who's been unaware, it creates this ripple effect, kind of like lighting a candle that lights another.
Well put. Education is the spark, but it's also the bridge between misunderstanding and understanding, between exclusion and inclusion.
And on that note, I think we've shown that disability rights, they're not just about, like, big laws or policies. They're about people and the stories they tell.
And the impact we make collectively. Whether it's systemic education or the courage of individuals to speak up, it all plays a role in building a more inclusive world.
Well, that's all for this episode. This has been such a meaningful conversation, and we barely scratched the surface.
Absolutely. Hopefully we've left everyone with a little more awareness, and maybe even some inspiration to take action themselves.
Thanks for joining us, everyone. Until next time, keep listening, keep learning, and keep advocating, because change only happens when we make it happen.